Our New Testament reading today is from 2 Corinthians 6, the entire chapter. So this chapter, as you're turning, this chapter contains instruction for those that minister in the church, how to minister and live. But it also instructs each of us how to conduct ourselves before a watching and needy world. This chapter also contains instructions and even pleas for how each of us is to respond to the grace and patience of the Lord through His ministry to you. So please listen for these things as we read. All right. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So, are you unsure or undecided about Jesus Christ or your need for Him or even unaccepting of His gracious gospel? Today is the day to resolve it, we see here. Don't rest until you find your rest in the only one that can truly give it. If tomorrow comes, it will only come with more distraction, and might come with only increasing apathy or suppressed conscience. Has any of your struggle as a believer or struggle to believe come from someone sinfully giving offense or discrediting the ministry? Know that it is a fault with sinful men and not with God. So don't let that decrease your faith and your zeal for Him. But bear patiently with one another as He deals patiently with us. And pray for those that minister to you that they would be more and more reflecting the instruction and example in this passage. Now, especially those that lead and teach in the church, but all of us are called here in this chapter to at least three things as we minister to others. Serving God in bearing difficulties and even mistreatment for Christ's sake is the first. Second, living in purity through the power of the Holy Spirit and bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Genuine love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And third, using, as it says, the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. This includes speaking the word of truth in love. And this phrase reminds us of the armor of God in Ephesians 6. The weapons being for both the right hand and the left point to our being fully equipped and fully engaged. Next, this chapter instructs us in a response to ministry, summed by two words, love and binding, or maybe a word more familiar to us that we use today, bonding. First, as those that minister are to minister in love, we are to respond in love and affection. And then second, we are to be careful who and who not to be bound with. On one side, might say the negative side, we are not to be bound together with unbelievers. This applies especially to marriage, and that's often what we hear this in context of, but it is broader than that. The idea here is the idea of Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So God knows that believers can find themselves in a condition of being unequally yoked. And he gives, in his word, comfort and instruction in those cases. But here, we are warned that we should not enter into that type of marriage or close friendship on purpose. On the positive side, though, we are to bind ourselves to him and to his people. This is also a response of love. And we see here, toward the end of this chapter, covenant language. We are called to covenant faithfulness, but also we are given here covenant blessings, even those of being as children of the Lord Almighty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for drawing us here today, for your providential care that we can gather together and worship you, hear your word. We ask that through this time we would gain much profit, that we would benefit from the fellowship with other believers, benefit from your word, and that we would be careful to encourage one another and spur each other on to good works, as we read in Hebrews. Lord, we see that you are faithful in your covenant, that you promise many good things, and that you always keep your promise. To your people, you are always faithful. Lord, we ask that we would respond in faith, in love, and also faithful obedience. And we're reminded how the Lord Jesus is author and perfecter of our faith. And so we ask you for your strength, your enabling, that we would serve you faithfully, that we would grow in the fruits of your Spirit, that genuine love for, first of all, you, and also for one another. And we ask that you would make us, in all of our situations of life, clear and consistent witnesses, showing that genuine love and compassion that overcomes fear. So often we're afraid of speaking or reaching out to someone who is in need of you, but we ask that through that compassion, that love that we are to have for those that are lost and in need, that we would overcome that fear. And Father, we thank you again for your word that has such rich instruction for us. We ask that you would enable us through your Spirit to understand and to apply it in our lives, and that we would be strengthened, enabled to follow your word, obey your word. We pray now for congregation that you would strengthen us, especially in possible transition of place to worship. We ask that you would work all to your glory and to the good of your church, and we know you will because you have promised. So we ask that even where things are unknown, that you would lead and guide, and that you would encourage us. We also ask that you would be with Becky's husband, John, as he is traveling to Sudan. We ask that you give him safety and success in obtaining the documentation he needs, ultimately to come here and be reunited to Becky and Deng. And we ask that you would bring about all of those things so that that would happen and happen quickly. And again, for your glory and our good. Once again, we thank you for your church and your care for your church. Thank you that you are with us as a church and even individually in sickness, in health, in want or in plenty, in all circumstances, whether pleasant or difficult. We thank you for your care. In Jesus' name, amen.